Shall we ask the Lord's blessing upon his offering and his thanksgiving for our service this morning? Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the provisions that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for a roof over our heads. Thank you for the sale of Greg and Hannah's house, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just even this building, Lord, which we meet in week by week. And what a blessing it is, Lord, to have that communication with a community centre, Lord, at the centre of a community, Lord. Lord, we give you these tithes and offerings now, Lord, as just a symbol of our obedience to you and our love of the ministry, Lord. Please bless them and multiply them, Lord, that they may meet the need, Lord, as the gospel goes out of this church, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace in our lives, your patience and your long-suffering, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you've already spoken in this service today, Lord, through your word and through the testimonies, Lord, and through what Jeff also had to say in encouraging the body to be baptized in the Spirit, Lord, to seek out the gifts, Lord, and to serve you more fervently, Lord. So just pray, Lord, your blessing upon this church as they minister to one another and encourage one another and build each other up to love and good works. But Lord, we once again come around your word. We expect, Lord, that you will have something to say to our hearts, Lord, whether that be an encouragement or even a chastisement, Lord, whether it be something, Lord, to take away and to chew on and to dwell on. And Lord, may you have your perfect will and way now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm very thankful for the ministry of Jacob and Moriel. I'm glad that he's coming in the next couple of weeks to you guys. He's been a blessing to me and my life and my walk with Christ for a long time. One of the things that really encouraged me with Moriel is to read the scriptures in a Jewish way, to see the scriptures the way that the New Testament writers saw them. To see the various types and the typology, how those things in the Old Testament pointed towards Christ. I don't know about you, but it makes Bible reading a lot more interesting, doesn't it? When you see Scripture, highlight Scripture. And these things really encouraged me as I developed in my walk with Christ. And like I said, you'll read some of the offerings and some of the genealogies in the Old Testament. And many Christians today don't read those things. They skip over those things, don't they, in their readings. And they're really missing out. Because I find those things really, really interesting. I mean, listening to a Jacob Prash teaching on things like the Yom Kippur scapegoat or the Passover lamb. And those things become quite familiar to us, don't they, now as we develop our understanding of the scriptures. Those who have been in Moriel circles for a long time have a fairly good understanding of those things. Jacob has a really wonderful teaching on the grain offering as well. But there's one offering that I don't think he's taught on before, and an offering that I've noticed in my Bible reading that is such a blessing to the church and something that I really believe believers can really get a hold of today. And that's the drink offering, the libation offering. If you turn in your Bibles to Philippians 2. And verse 14. Paul's talking about service. Service of faith. And here's my first point this morning, okay? Verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Jeff says, is he going to come and tell us off? Yes. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. This is the context which Paul's writing to. That you may prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation. We live in a perverse generation, don't we? Among whom you appear as lights to the world. What Jeff was talking about, that you being servants and gaining the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit to serve, to minister the gospel. Lights to this world, Verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even as I am being poured out as a drink offering, being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you. The drink offering. There's two times in the New Testament Paul refers to himself as a drink offering. Usually when we think of types, we do think of Christ, things being a type of Christ. There are various other types, aren't there? There's a type of the church, a type of the Holy Spirit that we see in the Bible. But here Paul's referring to himself as being poured out as a drink offering. The imagery is quite vivid, isn't it? Because it's taking something that's precious, a precious commodity. We'll look at some of the elements of the drink offering in a minute. But the idea that it's something that is precious, that is worth some value, and being poured out in service and in faith, being poured out unto the Lord. And this is what Paul's saying, what his life has become. And he's rejoicing at the fact that the Philippians are doing the same, that they're doing this with great joy, do things without grumbling or disputing, being blameless, innocent, pouring out their lives for others. And this is essentially what the drink offering represents, a person pouring out their life for others, taking those things that are of value, those things that are expensive commodities, and pouring out unto the Lord. So let's look at the drink offering. Turn to Numbers 28. I'd like to look further at the various elements and the way that the offering was given. And we'll read verses 1 to 11. And then we'll highlight some things there. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be careful to present my offering, my food for my offerings, by fire of a soothing aroma to me at their appointed time. And you shall say to them, this is the offering by fire which you shall offer to the Lord. Two male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, as a continual burnt offering every day. You shall offer the one lamb in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Also a tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering, mixed with a fourth of a hin of beaten oil. It is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai as a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Then the libation, which is the drink offering, with it shall be a fourth of a hin for each lamb. In the holy place you shall pour out a libation of strong drink to the Lord. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight as a grain offering of the morning, and as its libation you shall offer it an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. Then on the Sabbath day, two male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, and two tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with an oil as a grain offering and its libation. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath in addition to the continual burnt offering and its libation, its drink offering. We may read that and in our devotional time and be like, well, what does it have to do with me as a New Testament Christian? We tend to look at the offerings and think, well, that's the past, that's the old covenant. Thank goodness we don't have to sacrifice our own lambs. Some of us are quite partial to a bit of lamb chop, but I don't think we'd like to prepare it ourselves. I know some people that are quite close to me that have butchered animals, and it's not a pretty sight. And we read these verses and think, well, what do these mean? What do they mean in for a New Testament Christian in their context? But there's three points I want to share that I've observed in this offering. Firstly, that the drink offering was not to be sacrificed or to be poured out alone. It was not poured out alone. It wasn't just an offering by itself. It had to be with the sacrifice of an animal. See, the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins, was by the blood of animals. Or as the writer of Hebrews says, it wasn't through the blood of animals that we receive forgiveness of sins. It was through the blood of the Lord Jesus. But the remission of sins came through blood. Yet the pouring out of the libation offering was not to be done alone. It was always with an animal sacrifice. We think of the libation offering as our service and faith. It's no good without the blood of Jesus. It's no good that we have these works and these good deeds and that we're serving in the community, because other organizations that use this building do real good things in the community. Schools are doing really good things in the community. Charities are doing really great things in the community. Sorting people out, rehabilitating drug addicts and alcoholics. That's not what the church is about. And everything that we do in our service to the Lord is nothing without the blood of Jesus. That is how we receive the forgiveness of sins. But thank God that we do have this libation offering, because it's a soothing aroma to the Lord. It's how we please God. See, we come to faith through the blood of Jesus. We have that sacrifice. But in order to go on with this sacrifice, we have the libation offering, which is a soothing offering to the Lord. It produces a nice smell. Why the drink offering? Verse 8. You shall offer it and offer it by fire, a soothing offering to the Lord. It's to please God. Our service is to please Almighty God in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yeah, he sees us now cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, in the blood of Christ. That is how we've received the forgiveness of sins. That's how we're justified and we stand before a holy God. But there's more to the Christian life than that. We're to serve him. We're to offer up a soothing aroma. And you can see some of the elements that are in this drink offering. It must have produced a wonderful smell. There's three parts to the drink offering. Three parts to the drink offering I see here. We have the wine. The wine. Some of you may have cooked with wine before. It produces a really nice sweet smell, doesn't it, in your house? You know, when you're cooking, you've also got the oil mixed with oil and the grain as well. So you can imagine, you know, some of us that are cooks, these things mixed together with the burning of the lamb and the other animals as well. They must have been a lovely smell. And you know what? That's how God sees our service to him, when we're full of the Holy Spirit, when we're serving him, when we're preaching the gospel, when we're ministering to one another, when we're serving him through our local church, produces a soothing aroma, this sweet smell that is pleasing to him. Let's look at some of these elements a bit closer. Firstly, we've got wine. We've noted wine. Turn back to Philippians 2, verse 17 and 18. But even as I am being poured out as a drink offering to you for the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you. In the Bible, wine represents joy. It represents joy. And this is what Paul's saying, his service of faith here was. It was a joy to serve the Lord. It was a joy to serve others. And he wanted the Philippians here to serve with joy with him. That's why he starts out with saying, do all things without grumbling and disputing. And let's be honest, folks, when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to serving each other, it's hard to do sometimes without complaining, isn't it? It's not always the easiest thing because maybe we don't love brother so-and-so as much as we should do. Maybe we don't love sister so-and-so in the way that we should do. And perhaps maybe it's become a bit of a bind, a bit of a chore. Maybe serving the Lord in this church has become a bit of a chore for you. But that's not how we should be serving the Lord. We should do all things without grumbling or disputing. All things with joy. Serving the Lord with joy. Because when we don't, when we rob him of these elements, when there's no wine in the drink offering, then we're robbing the Lord of a true drink offering. And it's not a sweet, soothing aroma to him. It's not pleasing to the Lord. Have you lost your joy in serving the Lord? Some serious questions this morning. Secondly, there's the oil. Represents the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? We see this type time and time again throughout the scriptures, the oil as the Holy Spirit. Our service and faith must be as we are anointed and full of the Holy Spirit. I really do believe what you said this morning was a confirmation to my message, Jeff. I really do. Because we do need to be full of the Holy Spirit in order to serve him, to preach the gospel. The problem is a lot of Christians neglect and quench the Holy Spirit in their worship, in their service. Most Christians don't know what their gift is, what their gifting is, and don't consider these things. But we need to be. We need to be enlightened through his word, what the Holy Spirit would have us do, because the gifts of the Spirit are there for the ministry of the word. They're there for the ministry of the church. The gifts that God gives you are for the ministry. And if you don't know what your gift is, how will you know what your ministry is? And that's the problem. I preach in various churches across the Northwest. I've been to churches in South Africa. I've spent time in America and visited churches there. And there's so many Christians that don't know what their gift is. They don't know what their ministry is. And to be honest, I don't think they care. If there's no oil in the drink offering, how is it then a true drink offering? How then can we please God? So we must ask, is God pleased with our churches today? Is he pleased with, okay, let's bring this question upon ourselves this morning, because that's important to do so. Is God pleased in my life with the gifts that he would have given me? Am I using them? Am I being filled with the Holy Spirit in order to serve him? The third element, the flour. It's a powdery, grainy sort of substance, isn't it? It's grain sort of mushed up and powdered. We know, don't we? We've listened to the teachings before. The grain is the Word of God. The Word of God is the substance in which we make bread. The Word of God, the bread of life. If we're not doing things biblically, this is the third element of the libation offering, the drink offering, the service of our faith. If we're not doing things biblically, then we're not doing the libation offering, the true libation offering. We're not serving the Lord as he'd have us serve him. See, I've seen many churches that seem full of the Holy Spirit, so full of joy, people serving and ministering. But then when you find out the sin in the church, there's leaven in the church, that they're not doing things biblically, that you find out the pastor or the youth pastor's having an affair, that there's divorced couples running the church, that there's things going on that shouldn't be, then how is that pleasing to the Lord? See, if we neglect one of these elements here in the drink offering, then God isn't going to be pleased with our service to Him. It's got to be all three. We can't pick and choose whether, okay, well, at least we've got the wine and the grain, but it doesn't matter with the oil. No. God's instructions here in His Word are very, very clear that the true libation offering was to be offered with those three elements. We can't leave any out. My third point, the third thing I want you to notice, is that the measurements are quite particular in the drink offering. Back to Numbers 28. There's a tenth of an ephah for a fine flour. There's a fourth of a hin of beaten oil. There's a hin of wine. And then further along in the passage, those elements that we read in the first 10 verses are just for two lambs. Later on, we look at sacrifices with various other animals like oxen. So there's various proportions of these elements to the various different sacrifices that are given. And what I see from this is that each sacrifice has a specific measurement, a specific portion. And I really see this principle in Romans 12, where each sacrifice has a specific portion, a specific measure. Romans 12. Verses 1 to 8, it says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So in the context of worship and serving God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is and which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, do not think more highly or think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. A measure of faith, there's that principle there that within each sacrifice, within each ministry that we have, there's a measure of faith that God has given each one of us. He's given us a measure of joy, a measure of the Holy Spirit. He's given us a measure of understanding His Word. Let's continue verse 5. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace, so he's talking about different gifts here, different gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, with preference to one another in honor. So these various gifts, these various ministries that we are given by the Lord, that He's called us to, He's given us each a measure of faith. And as we grow in the Lord, that measure differs, I believe. Because some may not have the experience or the faith to do some ministries, but yet they may get there in their growth with Almighty God. We see that in the church, but it doesn't matter because we're all one body. We're all there to support one another, serving one another. And when we do these things, when we use that measure of faith, that gift that God has given us, really pleases the Lord. Paul brings a warning here in Romans. Do not think more highly than you ought to. More highly of yourself than you ought to. I see this a lot in churches today. I see people being thrust into the ministry where they've not grown to that stage in their walk too early, because we're too eager, aren't we, to raise up pastors, to raise up preachers. We see a young man and go, right, that's great. And we push them sometimes a bit too quickly. Seen it in my own church. We had a young lad who hadn't been saved very, very long, but had the desire to preach. Right, great, yeah. Let's send him off to Bible college. Let's get him to preach. There was concerns about this young lad because he's still shown some elements of carnality in his walk. And unfortunately, the pressure got too much and that's it. He no longer walks with God anymore. We must be careful in these things, not to think more highly of ourselves, not to be unaware of the gifts that God has given us. But still, we must be willing, shouldn't we, to offer up these things to Almighty God as a living sacrifice, as it says there in verse 12. I see two problems in churches today. And I think Israel typified some of these problems as they had this relationship with the sacrifices and the offerings. Firstly, is the times when Israel watered down the offerings, when they didn't give the correct offerings. See, with the drink offerings, what quite often they would do, they wouldn't give the strong drink or the best wine. They'd water it down. You know, like when you go to McDonald's and you ask for Coke, and it's half Coke and half water, isn't it? That's what Israel did with some of the sacrifices. They'd water it down, make it look more lavish than actually what it was. It wasn't the best quality. Isn't that like churches today? Isn't it like many Christians today? Maybe it's like us. Maybe we're not giving God the best of us, the quality, the best wine. Maybe we're watering it down. Maybe we're using those talents and the things that God has given us for our ambitions and our purposes rather than the Lord's. God isn't pleased with that. God isn't pleased when his people are not producing the right offering, when they've watered it down, when it's not the best quality. He wants strong drink, as it says there in Numbers 28. Strong drink, the best quality. The second problem, you turn to the book of Joel. Chapter 1, verse 10, book of Joel. The second problem is that there's a famine. Joel 1. The second problem is that there's a famine. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, O elders, and listen, all inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or in your father's days? Tell your sons about it, and let your sons tell their sons and the next generation what the gnawing locusts have left, the swarming locust has eaten, and what every swarming locust has left and creeping locust has eaten, and what the creeping locust has left and the stripping locust has eaten. Awake, drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you wine drinkers, on account of sweet wine, that it is cut off from your mouth. For the nation has invaded my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are teeth of a lion, and it is the fangs of a lioness. It has made my vine a waste, and my fig tree splinters. It has stripped them bare, cast them away. Their branches have become white. Wail like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the bridegroom of her youth. The grain offering and the libation are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn and the ministers of the Lord. there's a problem in our churches today, is that there is a famine for these three elements. There's a famine for the Word of God, there's a famine of the Holy Spirit, and there's a famine of joy. And these things, because the world has crept into our churches, because Christians are misusing these elements, they're finding joy elsewhere and they're becoming like drunkards. And because of these things, because now churches have cut themselves off from the source of their joy, the source of the Holy Spirit, the source of the Word of God, there's a famine. And churches are not pleasing the Lord. They're not serving the Lord. And we don't have that soothing aroma to God. This is the problem that I see in churches today. The second time the Apostle Paul refers to himself as a drink offering is found in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 and 8. Verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and only to me, and also to those who have loved at his appearing. See, the pouring of the drink offering wasn't just that he'd poured his life out just in service, but he'd poured it out literally. The Apostle Paul poured out his life unto death. See, when we think of our sacrifice and our service of faith, we may just think, well, it's for until I'm old, and then I retire, and then that's it. It's to our dying breath. That wasn't the case for the Apostle Paul, was it? He didn't have retirement in mind. He knew that it was going to be until he drew his last breath that he would serve the Lord, that he was willing to pour his life out. So the Greek word for witness is the same for martyr. It's where we get the word martyr from. Martyr. It's the same word. There's no distinction between the two. So in our service and our willingness to serve Christ, we must be willing to pay for it, willing to pay for our life. We may not get that concept, and I don't think the Western Church does, because they serve for a time. There's people that serve Christ and they serve for a time. But yet if you go to churches in the East, to Muslim countries, the persecuted church, they understand this concept. There's no distinction between just serving the Lord and it costing them their life. And this is what it was for Paul, that he poured his life into the churches that he ministered to, even unto death, and it cost him his life. It relates to the same picture that we find in Philippians. If we go back to Philippians, because this is Paul's view as well in Philippians 1:21. And I think this sums up everything about Paul's life, Paul's service, and the service that we should have as Christians. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. It's that two elements, isn't it? Service and costing our lives all into one. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Isn't that what the very fundamental of Christian walk should be? Isn't that how we should live our lives? Yet we falter so many times. We leave out these elements of the drink offering. We water them down. We're not giving the service to the Lord what is due. But Christ set that example. He is the ultimate drink offering because he gave his life. Paul continues there in Philippians 2 about in exhortation in verse 5, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, whom, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. He poured himself out, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man. He humbled himself, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself to becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Have this attitude in yourself that was in Christ. This is what Paul's talking about in the whole epistle to the Philippians, to have that joy, to pour yourself out even unto death. And that is the challenge to us this morning, to pour our lives into others, to pour our life out in service of him, to use those gifts that he has graciously given us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to be full of joy, filled with complete joy. If you've lost your joy this morning, regain it. I beg you, because you're not pleasing the Lord with if you're in any other attitude. You need the complete, full drink offering. So I challenge you this morning. I exhort you this morning to share in the joy of ministry with me. It's been a joy to minister to you this morning. It's a joy to be here and to fellowship, to hear the testimonies, to hear about what God is doing through this church. What blessing it is to see lives being changed, people growing, and with God being glorified in this place. So I challenge you this morning and I exhort you. May God bless you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is timely. I believe, Lord, you are saying something here this morning. It was confirmed with what Jeff had to say earlier. And I just pray, Lord, that you have your perfect will and way, Lord, through this church, that we may see souls saved, that we may see Christians grow, that we may see you glorified in our communities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.